Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Let me first offer my respects to you stalwart souls. See, this stream, Dharmatma, that's the stream we want to stop. This stream has to stop because they will be constant chatter. You need to put a guard there and they stop. They can come in the side doors, but this stream has to stop. I know I wish you all good fortune in your mission. May Lord Balaram empower you. Because it will take his strength. So I want to thank you stalwart souls who in spite of the rainy weather have come to hear Bhagavatam. I hope that your efforts will be rewarded in some small degree, that I will say something. What do they say? You can take gold from an unclean place and a good lesson even from a fool. So hopefully your efforts will be rewarded by you being able to extract a good lesson from a fool. Okay. Now, the lights are off just in time that I can't read the verse. Is that by design, or what's the... It's a mood class or something? There we go. So we are at the start of the sixth chapter of the eighth canto. It's this long pastime, blissful pastime, of the perennial struggle of the demons and the demigods. And what we'll do, I think, because there's no purport until we get to verse 8. And so the circus continues. What's on the board? Sri Brahma Uvacha?
Yeah.
Very good. Sri Brahma Uvacha. Ajata Janma Stiti Samyamaya. Gunaya Nirvana Sukarnavaya. Anoranimne Pariganya Damne. Mahanubhavaya Namo Namaste. Sri Brahma Uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Ajata Janma Stiti Samyavatmaya. Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never born, but whose appearance in different incarnations never ceases. Agunaya, never affected by the modes of material nature. Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. Nirvana Sukha Anavaya. Under the ocean of eternal bliss, beyond material existence. Ano Anmane. Smaller than the atom. Apariganya Damne. Whose bodily features are never to be conceived by material speculation. Maha Anubhavaya. Whose existence is inconceivable. Nama. Offering our obeisances. Nama. Again offering our obeisances. Te. Unto you. So I'm going to read the earlier verses. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of God, Hari, being thus worshipped by the prayers of demigods and Brahma, appeared before them. His bodily effulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns. The vision of all the demigods was blocked by the Lord's effulgence. Thus, they could see neither the sky, the directions, the land, or even themselves. What to speak of seeing the Lord who was present before them? Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a Marakata gem, whose eyes are reddish like the depth of a lotus, who is dressed with garments that are yellow like molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful, smiling, lotus-like face, crowned by a helmet bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows, and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt on the Lord's waist, the bangles on his arms, the necklace on his chest, and the ankle bells on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands, his neck decorated with kastuba gems, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons, like his disc and club. When Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus saw the form of the Lord, they all immediately fell to the ground, offering their obeisances. And the verse we chanted, Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never ceases. You are always free from the modes of material qualities, and you are the shelter of the transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. And Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:6, Abhipi sanavayatatma bhutanam ishwaram pisan prakritim svamadishtaya sambhavamayatma mayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. In the following verse in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutananam adharmasya tadatmana srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in the religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is unborn, there is no cessation to his appearance in different forms as incarnations like Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. Since his incarnations are eternal, the various activities performed by those incarnations are also eternal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not appear because he is forced to do so by karma, like ordinary living entities who are forced to accept a certain type of body. It is to be understood that the Lord's body and activities are all transcendental, being free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. These pastimes are transcendental bliss to the Lord. The words, aparigānya dāmne, is very significant. There is no limit to the Lord's appearance in different incarnations. All these incarnations are eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Om agenate madandasya gena gena silakaya jakshu shunmiditan gena tazarishi gurave namaha. Just as a preface to the main point I'm going to try to make, it describes that Krishna is the most subtle of the most subtle. And I was thinking, because it was raining, just a slight meditation on the sophistication and subtlety of Krishna's mind. Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj gave that great class. Oh yes, of course Krishna has a mind. And he gave some description of Krishna's mind. So just to meditate for a moment on Krishna's mind, his cleverness. They're very proud of desalination plants. You know a desalination plant? They can take the salt from the water and make it drinking water, from salty to sweet. Although it actually doesn't have a very good taste, desalinated water. And it costs so much money. I forget the ratio, but it's very expensive. Saudi Arabia, they have to spend so much money on desalination plants. It's a big, big endeavor and costs a ton of money. Now, and they're very proud of it. So many. You can go to university. I'm sure that you can get a degree in desal, PhD, piled higher and deeper, or prominent humility disorder, or as they say in Australia, permanent head damage. If it gives rise, we're not anti-education, but when it gives rise to pride, well, we know everything, and God is for sentimental, you know, old ladies, then it's permanent head damage. I'm sure you can get a PhD in desalination, certainly some kind of engineer for maintaining the plant. And yet, think about Krishna's arrangement for a moment. Prabhupada describes it as Purnam, an example, Om Purnam, Ada Purnam, how everything emanating from Krishna is Purnam. So this is just a subset of one of the many systems that Krishna has created from the subtlety of his refined mind. That the sun shines on the ocean and it draws the water up. Do you know why there's salt in the water? It's a mistake. It's just an app. It happened by chance. It's because the mineral water and there's so much toxicity and it washes out of the water. Prabhupada said the reason there's salt in the water is because A, it acts as a preservative of the water, and B, it controls the distillation rate, the rate that the water evaporates. It's not there by chance. So anyway, Krishna shines and the pure water is drawn off very nicely. But what to do? Krishna, if I could float this glass of water, everyone would think, Bhagavan Swami, he's Bhagavan. You know? But the real Bhagavan, he's floating tons, billions of tons of water, and he's floating them in clouds. You know, he lifts Govardhan Hill, imagine the weight of billions of tons of water. But Krishna's just floating them in the sky. And he moves them by one of his agents wherever he wants. Prabhupada said, actually, generally speaking, they bump up against the mountains. They pour down on the mountains. When they pour down on the mountains, they take all the minerals, all the valuable soil and nutrients, all come down, and it fertilizes and waters all the plain, all the fruits, all the farming, all the, you know. Then it takes away all the waste, all the garbage, and deposits it in the bottom of the ocean. It's a perfect cycle. It's a perfect cycle, and it's an eternal energy machine. It's going on by Krishna's distillation, gets the nutrients, waters everything, feeds the living entities, takes all the garbage, and deposits in the ocean. That is just a sample of Krishna's mind, the subtle, profound feature of Krishna's mind. And just another one, just for fun. Forget making life. One man was saying to Prabhupada, he was some kind of microbiologist. And again, we're not deprived. I'm using a microphone. Don't go off on the word Luddites. We're not saying that. But the man said that we're on the verge of creating life. Prabhupada said, fine. We all know Prabhupada's example. Take a dead man, put in the chemicals. Car runs out of, can't run because of gas. Put gas in it, the thing will run. So find me the chemicals, put them in a dead man, and bring him back to life. Oh, well, Swamiji, we're a ways off from that. Prabhupada said, all right then. Just, can you make me an ant? Make me an ant. Another time, Prabhupada said, make me a fly. Flies can back up, they can go forward, they can take up, they can go. They're actually quite complex things, you know. You should see, you can Google it, the structure of a mosquito's, where it sticks and bites you. It's a whole complicated hydraulic system that draws that blood out. Very complex. Schlumberger, the big oil, you know, they should study how they do it, you know. Anyway, Prabhupada said, just make me an ant. Man said, well, Swami, we can. Prabhupada said, all right. Can you just make me a blade of grass? By this time, the man was pretty subdued. No, Swami. Prabhupada said, make me a drop of milk. He'd gone from we're just about creating life, and he couldn't even make a drop of milk. Krishna's subtlety. Take straw. Krishna takes straw. It's lower than a straw in the street. It's practically the most insignificant thing you can think of. I don't know if you can buy straw. Can you buy straw? On Amazon. You can. The Kalpa Briksha of modern times. So, okay, fine. But it's practically nothing, isn't it? Krishna takes, just as Krishna's sense of humor, we're talking about the subtle nature of Krishna. He's always 10, 15 steps. Like chess, they say a good chess player is always 3 or 4 steps ahead. The experts, the masters, you make your first move, they already know everything you're going to do and how they're going to defeat you. They're thinking about the next game they're going to play somewhere else. Imagine Krishna's mind. And therefore we think, well, why doesn't he do this, or why doesn't he do that, or, oh God, give me this, well, I wanted this, and Krishna did this. What? But Krishna's, you know, a million miles ahead of us. If we're so bright, so smart, what are we doing in these material bodies in Kali Yuga? We're the bottom of the barrel. So on one hand, we should just have confidence and depend on Krishna, but that's another topic. So, Krishna takes straw, insignificant, and he turns it into the miracle food. Prabhupada says, the miracle food for babies and old men, milk. Next time you meet one of these errand guys, oh look, forget the secrets of the universe, forget you're going to create life. Can you just make me a machine that I can put straw in it and a whole milk will come out? Hey, I'll take low fat. I'll take powdered milk. Just make it. They don't even have a clue how to do it. And they're so, only in Kali Yuga do these people get away with these claims. Only where there's, what is it, a cheaters and cheated and a fool number one and fool number two. Do you know who fool number one is? Prabhupada's example, fool number one, fool number two? Anybody know? Huh? The one who says something foolish. Who's fool number two? The one who enthusiastically follows. And the world is, it's a fool, in Kali Yuga, it's fool number one, fool number two. So, there's that about Krishna's subtle mind. But okay, I guess I'll go at it this way. Krishna's appearing again and again, like waves of the ocean, his incarnations, Prabhupada says, like waves of the ocean. And we read in there, you know, Pritanaya Sadunam Vinasayacha Duskritam, similar verse. So, why does Krishna come according to the verse I just quoted? Two things. Also to establish Dharma, but the two things I mentioned. Pritanaya Sadunam Vinasayacha Duskritam. Help me out. Huh? Nah, you can repeat like a parrot. I asked, what are the two reasons? And I took out one, the third, religion. So what are the two reasons Krishna comes? One, to protect his devotees. What's the other reason? To annihilate the miscreants. But Prabhupada said, actually, that's not the real reason. I know it's in Bhagavad Gita, fine. Sue Prabhupada. Prabhupada says it this way. He's joking. He said, actually, for the devotees, like Prahlad, they have full faith. Krishna doesn't need to come to save the devotees. The devotees have full faith that Krishna will save them. And Krishna can save them by so many means. And we've all experienced that Krishna saves his devotees by so many amazing means. If we have time afterwards, I'll share with you a few stories how Krishna saved his devotees by amazing means. And as far as the demons, there are forest fires right now. California, the most powerful state, New Yorkers won't like this, but the most powerful state in America. It's the 9th most powerful economy in the world. And it all comes from Southern California. Southern California means Los Angeles. Los Angeles, all the rich people, many of the rich, they live in a place called Malibu. It has just been completely devoured by forest fire. Big movie stars, multimillionaire tech guys, the mayor of LA, his house is now ashes. They couldn't do a thing to stop it. A tidal wave comes, a tornado comes, an earthquake comes. They can't do a thing. Nothing. They can fold their hands and pray. So, you know, Krishna can take care of the demons. He can take care of he's always taking care of the devotees, and the devotees have that firm conviction. So why does Krishna come? What did Prabhupada say? Just to give the devotees something to talk about. Just he does so many wonderful things, and that way the devotees, they can meditate on Urukram, you know, the amazing activities of Krishna. But the point I wanted to make, those are prefaces, the theme I wanted to do my best at, is that Krishna is doing his part. Partnership implies what? As far as, well, it's a big question. Partnership, here's one person. Now when I say there's a partnership, what does there also have to be? Another person, isn't it? And the nature of their relationship, how they interact, everybody carrying their weight, everyone doing their part, that is the definition, one of the definitions of a partnership, isn't it? Okay. Krishna is doing his part. He's coming. He's created the whole material world. He's created the systems like Purnam, like the sun, the wind. He's created all the demons. He's done everything. He's in the heart giving all intelligence. He helps us digest our food. We can't even digest a chickpea without Krishna. He's doing everything. He's doing his part. Wave after wave after wave of incarnations. Krishna's doing his part. In this pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. Hello, sir. Hare Krishna. Krishna gave the strategy. He carried the mountain. You know, the demigods, they were all getting, devas, they were getting crushed by it. He put it on the back of Garuda. When they put it in the milk ocean, it sank. He came as the tortoise. They're all churning. They're all exhausted. Vasuki starts to spit out flames and fire. Krishna sends nice clouds, fresh breeze, some wind, rain to cool everything down. They all weren't able to do it. Krishna infused the devas with goodness, the demons with passion, Vasuki with the mode of ignorance. He infused everybody so they could do the job. Even then, they couldn't get it done. Krishna personally came. The thing started to come out of the ocean only when Krishna personally took up the churning. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The demons stole the nectar when it finally came out. Krishna comes as Mohini Murti. So at every single step of just this one pastime, Krishna was sustaining, guiding, providing, pushing forward. Krishna is doing his part. That's my point. Krishna is doing his part. Therefore, what is the question? If a partner is two entities, their relationship, each has a set of responsibilities. And Krishna is overabundantly doing his part. What is the missing factor? Some of the ladies know. What is the missing factor? Partnership means two. Krishna is doing his part. I can't give you an easier hint. Come on. Somebody. The ladies are going to let the men defeat them? All right, anyway, we'll go ahead. I know you know, you're just being shy or modest or whatever. So they're doing their part. Krishna's doing his part. What's our part? What do we need to do? What is our obligation? The Damodar Leela, the Mother Yasoda, the ropes, Vairagya, Jnana, Karma, they're not able to bind Krishna. Well, I want to back up a bit. People are thinking, I was at Radha Damodar Temple the other day. What we call religion, what parades as religion, and it doesn't matter whether it's Christian or Hindu or Muslim or Jewish or whatever you want, what parades, what presents itself as religion, is really just formulaic piety. It is simply and I'll explain what that means in a moment. It is simply, if I check the boxes, we were at the Radha Damodar Temple. I'm an old man. I got a broken foot. You know, how many things are wrong in this picture? I was almost trampled. There were so many people going through that temple. They couldn't care less where they are. They had no interest in what the philosophy was. They had no idea who Rupa Goswami was. And they didn't care. They just wanted to check the box. You see it here. When the ghee lamp is passed, they would trample their dying grandmother to get their hand over that lamp. Because they're thinking it's a punch list. It's like a construction. Go to this place, bow down. Offer this ghee lamp. Oh, smell that flower, smell that flower. Get that ghee lamp. With no awareness of the substance whatsoever. But get the formula, check the box. Let me check the box, let me get the list. And by that formula, by those acts alone, I will obtain the kingdom of God. Just follow. It's what Krishna tells his father, you know, to reject this karma kanda process. But we see it. We see it in every religion. Just perform this austerity, do this, give charity, give this, and you'll get the result. And it remains dry, superficial, and they do not get pure Krishna prema. They do not get love of Godhead. They don't want love of Godhead. They want a mundane Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means freedom from anxiety, right? That place where there is no anxiety. Of course, there's no anxiety. Prabhupada says they want the kingdom of God. If you want the kingdom of God, what's a prerequisite, an essential prerequisite to have the kingdom of God? God has to be king. You want the kingdom of God, then you've got to make God king. So they want Vaikuntha, but they just want mundane. Their idea of heaven is relief. Either it's Swarga Loka, it's either relief or reward, as I was saying. It's relief or reward. It's relief. There's no adibhatik, no adidaivik, no adiatmik. There's no material distress. And if there's some frosting on the cake, there's some... I hope I don't get shot for this, but Muslim, it's flat out. You get 100 virgins. They don't even pretend. Let me just go to heaven in no material body and enjoy sense gratification. Kijai. The Christians say it, the heavens, they all say it. When I get to heaven, going to see them pearly gates. What God is doing there, what our relationship is, and a happiness beyond sensual titillation or cessation of pain, a happiness beyond that, they have no concept. Sanatan Goswami deprecates Brahmananda, which they don't even have a... Let's give them credit. Okay, there's some cessation of pain. Brahmananda. Sanatan Goswami says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that happiness is the happiness of the relief of hunger after a good meal or being in a deep sleep. No problem. Basically, it means no problem. So, that's... Or the other side of the coin, Christians say, that, and we also have the same thing, these are themes. Either by my mechanistic activities, by following the formula, I will get to the kingdom of God, which they're thinking is Swargaloka or some mundane heaven with 100 virgins. Or, hey, I've fallen short, there's nothing I can do. You hear this primarily from the Christians. What can I do? I'm so sinful. Jesus died on the cross for us. Basically, they're saying, I'll go on sinning and Jesus, I'll give him the bill. I mean, what kind of love is that? But I've fallen short. I'm saved by grace. So either I'm saved by acts or I'm saved by grace. These are the two big themes, mechanisms, levers that you pull for going to heaven. And they'll trample their dying grandmother, or they'll stay sinful. Trample their dying grandmother, die for that ghee lamp. Blessings. They're always asking for blessings. I'm a sannyasi, trying to be a sannyasi. They're always asking me for blessings. But what do they actually want? Ashtava, shanti, shanti, shanti. I hope your rheumatism goes away. That's all they want. Prabhupada was on a train. Hari Sari told me this. I think Hari Sari or Shruti Kirti. Prabhupada was on a train, and he would often do his writing early in... Oh, jeez. He would often do his writing early in the morning. And he didn't want to be disturbed. I mean, anyone who doubts that, I have three different places, three different solid quotes, where Prabhupada said, I have to choose the words for these books so carefully. Each word, they will stand as the law books for humankind for the next 10,000 years. I have three places where Prabhupada said it. Three different places, three different individuals. So Prabhupada was thinking very deeply what words to use in the Bhagavatam. So he's riding on a train, has his own compartment there. Next to him, there were some three Bengali gentlemen in the next compartment. Happened to be Bengali, don't get uptight, I'm picking on Bengalis. Mukherjee, Chatterjee, Banerjee, you know. And they wanted to come to Prabhupada. And Harikesh, they were standing guard. So it was like a rugby scrum, you know. These guys were trying to get in, and they were trying to... But moments in attention, they slipped around. They got into Prabhupada's. And Prabhupada, as the spotless, impeccable gentleman, looked up and said, yes. And they said, oh, Swami, Swami, can you give us blessings? Give us blessings. Prabhupada said, and what are those blessings? They were taken by surprise. Usually it's just like an ATM. You stick the card in, you get the money out. You don't have to talk to the ATM, you know. They just, you know, you punch in the number and out it comes. So they're thinking, oh, Swami, Swami, give blessings, you know. So the Prabhupada said, and what are those blessings? And the leader of the group said, I've got this bad knee. I've got these pain. Prabhupada made a face like, no, no. So then the man, he was perceptive. He said, happiness for my family. You know, Prabhupada talks in Nectar Devotion how the circle of love radiates from ourself and goes out, you know, ultimately our family, society, this and that, you know. So the man said, and my family. Again, Prabhupada made the face wrong thing. And he said, you know, and peace on earth, peace on earth. Again, Prabhupada made the face wrong thing. Prabhupada said, you want my blessings? He said, these are my blessings. And he pointed to Satsvarup Swami. Saffron, thin cloth, looking like Sudam Brahma. He said, take this saffron cloth. Renounce the world. These are my blessings. Oh, those guys, they were out of the room. They were gone. No, 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 no. No, Swami. No, 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 you know. And Prabhupada started to laugh. I mean, it was Prabhupada's sublime expert. You know, many things accomplished at one stroke. He got them out. They left Prabhupada alone. He got him out of his compartment. They left him alone. But he made a point, a solid point. So they want blessings. They want, you know, or, you know. So I'm just thinking of the time factor. So if it's not Sanatan Goswami, our philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, as the mind of Krishna, as Krishna is the most subtle of subtle, the philosophy, the comprehension of Krishna is subtle, it's refined, it is not coarse, it's not black or white. It's not, oh, give me blessings, or, oh, knock down my grandmother to get that ghee lamp because by the ritual I'll go back to Godhead. It is nuanced, it is refined, it is sophisticated. It is a chinta beda beda tattva. Sanatana Goswami says, and we all know from Damodar Leela, ultimately it is by Krishna's mercy alone that we are saved. We cannot conquer the kingdom of God. It is by mercy, it is by grace that we are delivered, that we obtain Krishna prema. But what is the next question? I'm so glad Shudi, I paid him to come. No. He's gotten every question. He's my old god brother, so we can joke. But he's right. What do we do to become qualified to get Krishna's grace? We are ultimately saved not by our formula. We are saved by grace. But it's not just grace. Like an antenna, like a net. You know, okay, it's flying, but how do I catch it? How do I catch Krishna's grace? How do I become attractive to Krishna so that I will receive his grace? It is only by grace, but how we have our part to do. That is my point. Krishna is doing his part. We have our part to do. And it is not by acts, by punching the, you know, getting all the checklist. It's not by feeling sinful and fallen. We have to cleanse our heart. That is the process. That is the first Trinadapi Sunichena. The first principle of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, the first thing is humility. We have to become... Krishna will only sit... Read the section if you haven't read it. I try to read it regularly because I always, you know, having a very contaminated heart, it's very valuable for me to read. Chaitanya Charitamrita, cleansing of the Gundicha temple. How Krishna doesn't sit in an unclean place. Our part is to clean our heart, to become free from anartas. We have to do our part. Then we will attract Krishna's mercy. And the key is humility. So, because we need to push forward, I wanted to give a few examples. At Prabhupada's disappearance day, and rightly so, the speakers were glorifying Prabhupada's amazing accomplishments. And rightly so. And how Prabhupada was empowered. And how what he did at, you know, coming at 70 in 1965, you know, how is it possible? And it's true. And someday when you're my age, when you're a walking wreck, you'll think, how is it possible? Prabhupada, three different places, at Advaita Bhavan, at Radha Damodar Temple in front of the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and the Bhajan Kutir, and at the samadhi of his spiritual master, Prabhupada swept and was crying. He was sweeping and he was crying. And the pujari asked him, why are you crying? And he said, my spiritual master has given me an impossible mission. So Natan Goswami says, it's true, it's impossible for us. Suppose, Abhay knows this example, suppose the mischievous child had poured a big pile of glue, quick glue, on this seat, invisible quick glue, and Bhadranarayan Swami sat on it. I am now fixed. I'm glued to this spot. I am limited in my reach. I am finite. If I want to shake hands with this Prabhu right here, don't move. It's a visual thing. Can I shake hands with him or not? Yes, no. Oh, we have no advocates. And we have yes advocates. Now, I am limited. I am finite. But yes, I can shake hands with him. How? It's a visual thing. Come on. Stand up. Anyway, you get the idea. Come on. There we go. I'm not contagious. See? It becomes possible. If he takes the initiative, that which was impossible becomes possible. So Krishna is ready, willing. At every corner, from every angle, Krishna's banging on the door. He's coming down the chimney. He's sliding in the window. He's doing it. And we're sitting there like the owl. No sun, no sun, no sun, you know. What do you want Krishna to do? He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just open your mouth and chant. And if you can't chant, we'll stick a samosa in, you know. Take Mahaprasadam, you know. What more do you want Krishna to do? So, Sanatana Goswami says it's impossible, but it becomes possible by the grace of Krishna. Connect the dots. And we attract, we have our duty. Our part is to attract the mercy of Krishna. And the way to attract the mercy of Krishna is cleanse the heart. And the cornerstone, the epicenter, is humility, chanadapi, sunni, chena. From that, all other things will come. I'm speaking to myself, believe me. So I wanted to give, in the few minutes left, just a few examples of Prabhupada's humility. I already gave the example of Prabhupada sweeping, his humility, just to sweep. We have Prabhupada in Boston Harbor. He wrote that poem, and he signs it off, "Your insignificant beggar." Feeling so, I'm nothing. But as your puppet, you can make me dance. So that, it breaks your heart when you think about it. Prabhupada came to New York City. His first observation was that the whole place smelled like dog stool. I heard Prabhupada say this personally. When he would come to where we were staying in the Bowery, the drunks would be passed out on the steps. Passed out. Prabhupada said, but they were respectful. They would roll out of Prabhupada's way. One drunk would say to the other, here comes Swami. They'd roll out of the way, and Prabhupada could walk up the steps, and they'd roll back, you know? Prabhupada said, in this way they were offering dandavats. This is the vision, you know? The humble vision of Srila Prabhupada. So, there's a tape, Govardhan Prabhu, our temple president in Detroit, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when you go before the deities, what do you pray for? Prabhupada said, I'm praying to Srimati Radharani that I won't fall down. I mean, just imagine such a person. Prabhupada. You can hear the tape. Prabhupada's in San Francisco, and he's speaking to the hippies. And you know, that man asked Prabhupada, what is a hippie? Prabhupada said, oh, something amazing. You know, Prabhupada says. So they're all drug-crazed, aborigines, adivasis, you know, who knows what these people are. And that's an offense to the adivasis, you know. So you hear Prabhupada, he's come all the way over on a boat, two heart attacks, you know, he's a refined gentleman. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me, Prabhupada was staying at one place, Prabhupada turned to Tamal. He said, I smell chicken soup. Tamal said, I don't smell chicken soup. Prabhupada said, that's because you don't have refined senses. I mean, Prabhupada had to smell all these things, you know. So he's there. He's trying to give them Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. And some lady, could have been a man, don't get uptight, whatever it was, someone stood up and yells, and you think you're God? I suppose you think you're God. Who are you? Just goes off on Srila Prabhupada. And you hear Prabhupada say to himself, because the mic's on, it is the darkest of darkness. So in the darkest of darkness, Srila Prabhupada came, old man, just to give Chaitanya, and feeling himself, just to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and feeling himself insignificant beggar. That's how Prabhupada did it. That's how we can do it. And we're almost out of time. Prabhupada came to Detroit, and instead of Bhagavatam class, I forget the year, it was at the old temple Seminole, it's the corner of Seminole and Jefferson. So Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita had just come out. So instead of Srimad Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in the mornings. It's fantastic. And, you know, Prabhupada said, you could hear him, he was making the point. He said, this movement, he said, a poor man doesn't become rich unless something extraordinary happens. He finds gold on the road, or he has an uncle who dies, and he gets an unknown uncle, and he gets an inheritance. Something amazing just falls out of the sky. Now, I should preface this. The devotees, Prabhupada was supposed to come in 10 days. He changed his schedule because there was a chance to get that, which Prabhupada did, that beautiful new temple. So all of a sudden, Prabhupada was coming in 3 days. We thought we had 10 days. All of a sudden, we had 3 days. So in defense of the devotees, practically no one had slept. We were cleaning and washing and painting and doing all the things we should have done all year long, but at least we were doing it before Prabhupada came. So, and there, it was 3 Radha Damodar bus parties, sannyasis, and practically no one had slept. So when Prabhupada sat in the morning, it, for many of the devotees, the first time they'd really rested their bones, everybody fell asleep. Householders, sannyasis, GBCs, everybody was just out like Kongsa's prison. Everyone was out cold, you know? I would have been asleep, but I was in the kitchen. So I was cooking, so I was moving, I was ambulatory, so that I didn't fall asleep. But I had, whatever. I ran upstairs for a few minutes. I just wanted to see Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan. And as I came up around the corner and saw this sea of nodding and bobbing heads, you know, Prabhupada was really, you know, because he was Chaitanya Charitamrita had just come out. And he gave this example that a poor man doesn't become rich unless something extraordinary happens, something out of the ordinary, something amazing. And he said, in the same way, this movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna alone. And then he looked over his glasses like a kind grandfather at all the sleeping devotees and said, that is a fact. And it's true, you know. This movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna alone. It's a fact. But to get that mercy, we have to do our part. So that is the simple point I'm trying to make here. Madhuvis Prabhu, who was one of our early leaders in America, and wonderful, it was GBC in Australia, did so many wonderful things, fantastic kirtan leader, he's passed away, wonderful devotee. He said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, it says in the Gita, one who has, how to get Krishna's devotion. How to become a devotee, how to get Krishna's devotion, how to become pure realization of Krishna, how to do it. And it gives two criteria. One who's performed lifetime, whose reactions to sinful activities are eradicated, and has performed lifetimes of pious activities. So all your sinful activities gone, and piles of pious activities, you can take, such a person can take to devotional service. But Madhavisa said, same thing like Sanatana Goswami. It's impossible. How will we accomplish the impossible to get Krishna prema, to approach the infinite? How will we do it? It's a good question. It's a legitimate question. So Madhavisa said, Prabhupada, the criteria is there in Bhagavad Gita, but he said, what to speak of pious activities? He said, I was performing sinful deeds until the day I met you. How is it possible? Prabhupada said, I have created your good fortune. I have created your good fortune. I only ask one thing. What is that one thing? Prabhupada said, all I ask, as I have created your good fortune, you go and create good fortune for others. So that is our mission. In a humble mood, feeling lower than the straw in the street, if we go forward to give the message of Krishna to others, the door opens up, the heart becomes humble, and Krishna pours down his mercy, and we can actually attract Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.